We began in our welcome by saying welcome as we continue our Easter journey. And we're now week three into this part of our Easter journey. And we get in these times the varying accounts of Jesus' appearance in all of the Gospels, really, but we won't be using Matthew and Mark this year. But Luke today gives us a really interesting account because this is the very last part of Luke's Gospel. The very last part. In fact, there are only two verses after it, which would normally be included in this part of the text, but because they refer to Jesus' ascension, the church has left them off this weekend so that we can concentrate on his appearances to the disciples, not his ascension, because that has its own space and time a little further down the track. So how did this early church come to recognize the risen Christ? Because he didn't appear in great numbers to the multitudes like he was feeding the 5,000. That didn't happen. That was not as though it was a select group, but it was almost a select group. There were small numbers. So when we look at through Luke's gospel, the four ways in which they came to understand Jesus, the first was Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and seeing the empty tomb. The second was Peter and John racing, and they got to the tomb and saw that the tomb was empty. So the first two accounts of understanding that Jesus had risen actually came through an empty tomb. Then the third account we heard last week, or during last week, which was what we know as the story of the two men on the way to Emmaus, about 7 kilometres out of Jerusalem. They were walking away from Jerusalem. Everything else happens on the way to Jerusalem. But they were walking away, and then Jesus came among them and begins by saying, "Peace be with you." And most of you are very familiar with the Emmaus story, where he then spent the rest of the day walking with them and explaining the scriptures to them that were about himself, though they did not recognise him as the risen Jesus. And then he was about to make his way on, and they said, "Stay with us for the evening, stay for the meal." And so he did stay for the meal, and it was at the meal that they recognised who he was. Today, we have the next part of that conversation in Luke's gospel. So the third way of the disciples recognised him was in the walking and the explaining of the scriptures, and then the meal with them. And today, we have a very similar thing. He comes among them and he begins with, "Peace be with you." And they were not at peace. They would have still been in some state of turmoil after what they had witnessed at Jerusalem over what we call Easter. And then the fact that he was there and they would be saying, "Is it a ghost? Is it a spirit?" And so Jesus does the thing that convinces nearly every person who doubts, is he gives them the very physical evidence, his hands and his feet. So he comes among them, he offers them peace, he shows them who he is, and then he has a meal with them. He asks them, they're not convinced, I don't think, by the marks in his hands and his feet. And then he says, "Have you got something to eat?" And that convinces them. That meal convinces them. And then he explains the scriptures to them again. So this account is a follow-on, if you like, from Emmaus. And that just puts the whole thing in context. So, because the big question is, how do we recognise Jesus? Well, we can only go on what we have experienced too. But Jesus hasn't appeared among us physically, not to my knowledge anyway, and said to me in my little ear, "Peace be with you, Richard." It comes to me in varying ways, in varying times through the day and sometimes in the night. But more often than not, like you, what I witness is my peace going away from me, like the disciples going away from Jerusalem, not my peace coming to me. And that might be the reason why Jesus begins these accounts of these with the disciples by saying, "Peace be with you, just relax." He almost translates with a gentle voice, "Just trust me, just trust me." And so we're looking for peace in our own life, and we don't have the clear evidence like that, like the disciples had, to be convinced of who Jesus is and the fact that he is risen. Our evidence comes through the eyes of our faith and the physical and spiritual experiences that we encounter during the course of our life, and they are very real. They are not just noisy dreams. Every communion, every Eucharist coming together, these things are real. This communion, community, they're extremely real. This is not a play. You are not actors, any of you sitting here. Because if you were actors, I would be saying right now, could some of you please move down the front of the stage? We'll work on that. But we're not. This is very real. As the church unfolded, as it came to understand itself, it was the evidence of those who were there that we rely on. So much so that Luke then went and wrote a second volume following these words tonight on the next two verses, called The Acts of the Apostles. And that's where we get a lot of the historical evidence of what was said and done in those early years. And we have inherited that through the eyes of our faith. But each Sunday when we come together, Jose, this is important for you as a young guy to remember as well. Each Sunday, and not even the Sundays, when we come together for Mass, we reenact, we bring to life again the whole Easter event that we're hearing about tonight and we heard about with the story of Emmaus. The tomb is empty. The church, our hearts, well, we're hoping to make them full. So we concentrate on the second two appearances that Luke gives us there. And the first is, peace be with you. That's how we begin Mass. And the next thing is, we acknowledge that we're a community. We're here together. I'm not sitting on my own. Sorry about that, Nick. You two might like to move closer together. But we're not here on our own. So we are a community. And Jose, you might remember me talking about this when we did First Communion. How do we recognise Christ the four ways at Mass? We recognise him by the people, firstly. And then what's the next thing that happens? Exactly what happens in the Scriptures and what happened to those first disciples. Jesus explained the Scriptures to them. And that's exactly what we do, or we try to do. We at least have the Scriptures there, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, something may come clearer to you than what I can confuse you with. But we're doing exactly the same thing. And then the third thing that happens, of course, is the meal. We recognise Jesus in the meal, what Scripture calls the breaking of bread. So his presence is real among us. We don't see the holes in his hands or his feet, but his presence is real among us by your heartbeat, by your breath, by your presence together, by our Scriptures, and by what we do when we come to that part of the Mass where we share the meal. And then the presence of Christ is also in the person of the priest, explaining the Scriptures, calling the people forward, uniting them. We've all got a job to do, and it's very responsible, and none of us can take it lightly. None of us. And so we're concentrating in the church in our diocese at this time on vocations. So I said to you last week, pray for your priests and pray for vocations to the religious life and priesthood. Because without the priest there among his people, we may be starved of Eucharist. It will never be taken away from us, but we may be starved of it. And there are places in the world where that's genuinely the case. And then there are other places in the world where there are so many priests they don't know what to do with them. So there's work to do there, but I'm not going to labour that point. That's self-evident, I think. But I do want you to remember that what happened in Scripture, we reenact every Sunday when we come to Mass. To the point that we talk about the 40 days of Lent. There are actually 45 days, but we take out the Sundays because Sunday is Easter. It is the day of resurrection. That's why there's 40 days in Lent. So they don't count. So every time we come here, we experience on this Sunday resurrection, what the disciples experienced. And by the faith of Mary Magdalene and Peter and John, we envisage the empty tomb, but not an empty heart, or emptying our churches. I just encourage you at this time to concentrate on those words that begin and end. The next part of the gospel, that which we don't get into today, is actually the commissioning. Go forth. Today we're told that you're the witnesses, and we are witnesses because of what happens here, what happens there, and what happens here. We are witnesses, living witnesses. We will have to take this out of here, and so that's why we close Mass as we began with "Go in peace." That word, peace. It comes back to us all the time, but it's so hard to land it, isn't it? To get peace in our life, it is really hard to land it. So we have to work creatively and wisely to get peace in our life. Creatively, but wisely. And I remember the story of the chap who got on in years. He was a widow by this stage, a widower. He got on in years and he decided to move out of his big house into something smaller. But the smaller place was right next to a high school. And he was happy with where he moved to until school term finished, like this weekend, and the kids started back at school. And the kids, these boys, may have been Marist, I'm not saying. These boys were coming past around the corner and they would bang every garbage lid on the Monday morning on the way down. And this poor man thought, this is not what I wanted in my retirement, and as I moved into some smaller, peaceful setting, it's not what I wanted. So what did he do? He went out to the kids and he said, listen guys, I love the way that you crash the garbage bin lids. I love that. In fact, I will pay you to do that every Monday, if you can go around and do that with the lids. You're on, old man, you're on. He said, I'll give you $10 every Monday if you can keep doing that up. So he did it for about a month. And then on about the fifth week, he came out and the boys came down. And he said to them, boys, you can tell I'm an old man and my pension check has not come through. It didn't go into my account. I have no money. I can give you, I've got a dollar, you can have that. And they said, we're not doing this for a dollar. No more noise. Boys resigned on the spot, did not come back. Be wise, but be creative how you try to get peace into your life. And at these current days, I would say, be respectful. And remember that peace in our life, for people of faith, starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus.